NYTS. I think it's one brother came to Canada, and so we pick up this song, and we dedicate to him to this song. So say when we emphasize no and never alone, you know. I say, and now we thank God, and many youth from Canada attended this NYTS. So it's a great occasion. By this chance, we get to know each other. So United States and Canada, it seems like one country now. And also from all other countries, you know, the member come attend. I hope in the future, more country youth come to join this NYTS to share the fellowship and the Word of God to inspire each other. I don't know, this is my nature too, but once you study here, you go back, usually you close all your notes and your file, put it in the pile, you know, kind of file list on your some of the, you know, parts, and then throughout the whole year, you know, maybe have a less chance to bring up and then open again. I think it's very slight chance, I'm sure. So if you're willing to take it, then you can try to, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 to 13, pick up the key words and then find out the key verse. Each one can be different. Yeah, it can be same, it can be different, because your view is different. Which way you can see, you know, the chapter. So there's no wrong and no right. Try do it from the chapter 1 to chapter 13. So your own way to summarize, that it really helps you. If you cannot do it, then you can ask the counselor, ask this one as a homework, then it benefits you. So I'm not, you know, I'm not saying, but it's all your own benefits. So it's up to you. See, the Pastor Liang mentioned that. More homework, so late, next year more people come. So actually more homework is, it helps you, the benefit to you. Where we start? Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is it within chapter 5? Well, I don't think of chapter finish of chapter 4, the last portion, 16, 17, 18. Chapter 4, verse 16, 17, 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. 17. For momentary, a light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparisons. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I just imagine chapter, verse 18, the, you know, word order, orderly and precisely and clearly. And 16 to 18, our inner, being, which is the spirit, our, you know, the live one, continue to grow up to gain more strength to renew day by day. He mentioned that. But at the same time, an outer man is a decaying. This is reality. This is reality. Well, you and I, our life, we're getting old, and we are not. We cannot be. Is a phoenix? It's like a bird that live forever. You know the bird, phoenix. Yeah. We cannot be that. We cannot be like the phoenix. We live forever. So your life and my life, one day we have to be buried on the, now this outer man is buried on the ground. That's our life in this world. So when you look at the fact of life, then you can tell if you focus on the, your life for the outer man, and that what you got out of it, you have to understand. But if we focus on our life for inner man, because inner man is keep growing, keep renewing for his second coming, and also after that, and then our inner man to resurrect on the last day with a Christ, that we enter the kingdom of God and live forever. So investment is very important. So you have to focus on your investments. If you have money, you save the money to invest certain place. Then why you save the money? Why you put invest there? Because you want to focus on the life there. Something like, you know, you earn the money, like a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, then you invest a certain company, you buy the stock for your future matters. Usually you are in a future using for your buying a house later, or when your children go to school, then you can utilize this investment for support of their futures. And also you invest your money for your retirements. So you can tell that your investment is very important matters. Because what you're looking for now, what you're suffering, what you spend your time, it matter is there. So our investments, it's not our outer body, but inner ourself, for the inner being. That's how our life can be regenerated in a strength, so that we can gain the strength. When I look at my parents, I remember when they were 50, now 60, and 70, now toward about 80 years old, the difference I can tell. It's very different. When I'm 60, they look okay, but once they get to 80, I mean 70, wow, I can tell the clearly difference. They lose their strength. My father before is always straight, you know. He likes to do all kinds of sports. He enjoying sports. He told me that when he was young, he liked to, it's boxing, boxing, and because he grew up on the rich family, so he doing like horsings, and he doing the skatings. And you know the Japanese, kendo and also judo. When I was young, he hold my breast and playing all right, and he played with me and he doing the exercise every day actually. Now the weight, you know, the exercise. You know, Japanese, they have such a way doing that. Every morning I look at him, wow, he doing that every morning. Take out all the, you know, top clothes and then doing that exercise. But now he cannot do it. He couldn't do it. And it's impossible him to do it. And he told me that his hand is shaking. And his back cannot straighten up. So he just, you know, halfway like this. That's a life. No matter how we strong we are, one day our body is a decay to prepare to die. My mom was very she workaholic. That was the problem. And then after father retires, and she got hemorrhage, you know, and then just fall, and then we send her to the hospital for hospital for about a month. Then after that, she kind of damaged the part of the brain. And also, because of the stroke, you know, half-sided, you know, paralyzed, but a little bit recovered, but still she cannot walk alone. You know, the life, no matter how pretty we are, no matter how strong we are, one day, it just turned out to be like this. So there's not that much of a value actually for our outer man. But if we focus on the inner man, the the life itself is really revived all the time. When I look at my mom's, I really appreciate my mom because she gave me this faith to in my hands, my father and my mother. Why I'm here? Because of their prayer, because of they truly concerned about my life. When I was in high school, I was also very rebellious, son. Many things I complained to my parents and complained to even God. But one day I saw my mother and kneel down, pray for me with the tears. And it changed my life. I really touched my whole, idea and my whole, whole things. It changed. And also my mom write down all the testimony on the notebook. She write all the testimonies through the prayer that be listened by God. And her whole handwritings and give it to me as a present. I holding that one in my rooms. Sometimes I look at it and then I say, oh, this is the most wonderful treasure that I have. When she's not like before, but then every time she tried to read the Bible, she copied the Bible. Not doing that when she met me, then and sometimes I call her, then she thought that I'm her daughter. So, oh, your first daughter. No, I'm your son. So. Okay, so. Always she encouraged me. Always remember, work hard and so that let be faithful to God, so that God is with you. So I really being encouraged by her. Also my father also. Anytime I have a difficulties, I call him. So he encouraged me too. I really this great great benefit from the father and mother. Even though they're getting old. But because of the spirituality to be renewed, it helps me a lot in my life. So I like to suggest you to your life focus. Do not put into which is to the word. I mean to this word, but put your life focus to the everlasting eternity. So then your life can be very different. And verse 17, for momentarily light affliction is producing for us the eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparisons. So it depends on where you wait on your life, that you can tell affliction is lighter or heavier. See, where your life focus, it depends on. So if you focus your life onto the eternity, to God, to the kingdom of God, then whatever you suffer now, then actually it's very light. Very light. But if you focus onto the word, that anything that happens turn out very heavy. Yeah. That's because that is only you can find out the value out of there. That's why. Yeah. And that's what the verse 18 says, let us remember we're not seeking for something that's visible that we can see now, but something that invisible but truly exists. That is our focus, that is our face, that is our heading for our life goal to be. So that's 18 I describe here that way. Chapter 5, verse... We just thought a little bit, I'd like to explain. Yeah. If you understand the eternity... If you understand the eternity, then that means you understand the now, the present time, your present. If you don't understand the eternity, then actually you don't understand, the now physical life here. Right? Well, Well, it's the same thing. Like, if you understand the inner yourself, then you understand the outer yourself. You know what my intention is to explain to you is that one. So. Because you know where you came from. That's why you can focus where in the eternity, that's why you know what you're going to do now. That's what I'm talking about. Chapter 5 from verse 1. Here the to the, your view, your life view, and then here Apostle Paul explained the two different things, temporal and eternal. Then he explained here the chapter 5 verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with the hands, eternal in the heaven. This is a rule, we can say. This is a rule. If we live, he described as our life as a tent. It's a temporal tent. But then our temporal tent, it's worn out. And then we have a building from God, a house, not made with the hands, eternal in the heaven. This is a process of life. So in our life, we live here for temporarily, and then we die. But dying is actually the hole, which is the door, can change our life to the one to the next one, which is the temporal to the eternal. So, verse 2, for indeed in this house we groan, the longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. 3, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. We're seeking for the eternity. We live in the tent. We know this is temporarily. So we're seeking for the eternity. It doesn't mean that we want to die. You know, we die and go there. And later on, he described in this way. We want to live here, but we want to put it on ourselves, which is an everlasting life within us. And then the hope continue to let our life to be live ways. That's here, continue he described on it. Just as I mentioned before, we think about the earthly tent. Nobody decorate. But just, you know, because this is a temporal thing. Have you ever have a camping outside? You bring the tent outside, you put the tents, and then you see the nature. And the first day is enjoyable, you know, wow. Everything is new, a lot of trees, you know, there's a stream, you know, flying, and you can have fun, you walk around, and have different food, such as hot dogs and things simple, but it's a different food anyway. But first day, you enjoy it. But next day, oh, I want to go home. It turned out little by little get tired. And a few weeks ago, we went to camping to, our church went to camping to, it's like a palm, something near the palm spring. Wow, daytime is so hot. Even if 5 o'clock, you cannot sleep. 5, 6, then already it's warm, you know, you cannot sleep. You have to get out. The whole day, actually very sticky. And then so we're looking for the camping site is not that many trees. So what happened is we're looking forward to find out, you know, shade area. So every time we're moving the, you know, the stop to, you know, to, because we want to under the shed. After a few, you know, think about if 2 days, I want to go home and take a, you know, fresh shower. And you're looking forward to in your mind, your room and a wonderful shower, and you have a wonderful rest in your room. That's how we, you know, that's how wishing for it too. In this world, it's temporary things. Once you, you know, put the tent on it, next day you take it out and just, you clean out and you move to back to your place. You hear described in that way, the Apostle Paul. So tent is not that expensive. Tent is quite cheap. And tent is weak. And tent is weak. And God gave us this tent for temporary purpose, not eternal purpose. So we do not put too much our focus and too much effort for this temporary, you know, tent. just somehow today the brain doesn't function that, you know, turning that fast. So, you know, the when the when you just try to refresh myself. When you find out a wonderful spouse, so the wedding day, you know, getting close to you, so you get excited. Of course, you say to your parents, I love you, I love my mom, I love my dad. And then they say, I wish you live with us. Yeah, of course, I love you, I want to live with you. And then, but your heart says, yeah, this is good. But to live with my spouse is much better. You know. So it's same thing. So when the wedding day after, then you know, the I see the usually the bride, you know, hugging to the family, you know, they just, you know, but they never go to their, you know, their own parents' place. They're always holding the husband or the, you know, from their own spouse, wife, you know. They're holding each other their own place. Because that's a better. That's a better. I love you, but then I love my spouse. So I want to go with them. The same thing that we hear the Apostle Paul talking about the wishing is like this. You know, I like to live here. It's okay. You know, I live here and I help you. I, you know, I can help with all the you know, holy work. It is a benefit for him and for the, all the members. But it is better if I can go to the kingdom of God and stay with him for forever. This is in his idea, his mentality, that was his wish at that time. You know, when you get into the airplane, and then if you have the time zone is different, when you get in, that you change the, you know, change your watch to set the their time. If you go 1 or 2 days, you don't change maybe. When I go to Hawaii, I thought, you know, even though I don't change my watch, I thought I can survive there. But then I arrived there, it's completely different. Oh, time zone is different, so I had to change my watch. But if you stay there quite a certain period of time, even you get into airplanes, and then you change the time. Because you want to change the mentality from the present location to the when you head to the, you know, future location. Because your mind, your idea and attitude setting to there. It's not the present place. So that's our Christian's life attitude. We are here, but we're setting our watch to the kingdom of God, their watch, their time zones. And this is our attitude. Let's look at the Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. He mentioned that. What to do to two directions? Of course, in a two with Christ is way much better. Yet to remain here also is meaningful for your sake. He's talking about. So the Christian's view of life is not pessimistic. You know, oh, life is nothing. I better die and I go, you know, kingdom of God, live with the God. No, it's not. Since God gave us life and the time, this is a grace of God. Also, this is a wonderful. At the same time, the kingdom of God is way and much better than that. Now, that's why we Christians. It's optimistic all the times. Whether we are here, whether we are there, we always optimistic. But pessimistic, they misunderstood about the Christianity. That we always, you know, optimistic. When you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, why the Solomon to be, you know, pessimistic. Vanity, he bring up the vanity. Oh, life is vanity. Everything is vanity. He's talking about the vanity and vanity. Because there's no God. So whether he tried himself to be satisfied through everything in this belonged in this world, but he couldn't find it. So it turned out to be vanity. It turned out to be, you know, cannot optimistic, because there's no hope. It turned out to be pessimistic. Yeah. Chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. I just, you know, briefly go on this way. Verse 11 to 14. This one I like to read first. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade man, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not again commanding ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. Verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. Verse 14. And for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. It just first in the verse 13 said, for if we are beside ourselves. Beside ourselves means what? A little bit, what do you call this? It's beside yourself, right? Which means a little bit mad. Not your own, right? Yeah, so if you want a Christian, if you want to become a, you know, active Christian, a real Christian, you have to be mad a little bit. And then you can be a good Christian. So, be drunken, way the same way, with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Ephesians talking about. Do not be drunken, but what the Bible says? Become fullness of Holy Spirit. Yeah, because that's the same thing like a drunken, but different way of to be drunken. That's how we become a Christians to be. When other people say there's, you know, the life have a lot of, you know, when they're difficult, they always, you know, they worry about their life. But Christian is different. We can just say amen, amen, and then the other people look at us. How come this man has a lot of problem in his life, a lot of difficulties? Well, how come they say amen, amen, always in their face is a smile face? Is something wrong with that man? Then it's a Christian, sir. It is a Christian. But if we acting and the worry and the attitude the same like them, then we are not a Christian. What's the difference between the Christian and non-Christians? Because we're different. Because we're drunken by the Holy Spirit. So we it's more like a little bit, you know, the different side of the people. Or we are a little different side of people. So that's where we came from. Let's go on to the verse 14. For the love of Christ control us. That's why. Something that something in your mind, something control your life. That's why you can be mad. If anything cannot control you, you cannot be mad. So that's the key word, control us. Control us. Many people have you noticed that when the people when they express the love, when I love you, if you accept my love, even I can even die here, it's okay. You know, the meaning here is, if you accept my love, even I can even die. Which means, you know, that much I crave about you, which is, we crave about God in this manner. Since I love you, you love me so much, even I dying now, I still can't satisfy it. Yeah, that's our the force of driving force of our life. Control us. What is the key to control our life? It's important key words. It's like this when the lady, when he pick up the book from the bookstore, and then he open and he read some page. It's about, you know, 1/5 he actually read it, but the book is so bored, you know, really boring. It's a book, so 1/5 she read it, and then but still keep reading and keep reading. But on the way to 1/3, she couldn't go on, so she just closed the book and then, you know, tossed it away, you know, put, you know, tossed to just, you know, to where, anywhere. And then later on, she happened to attend like a kind of seminar, and then she happened to talk to the person. The person's name is somehow, is a coincidence, is the name that she read before the book, 1/3. Oh, then she explained to the man, says, "Oh, the name is coincidence, you know, what a coincidence, your name is the same like the, what the book that I read." You know, the, and then the man says, "That book, I wrote it." And then, because why she keep talking with him, because she already attracted the man and the seminar. And then they talk about the book. But at least she read 1/3, so she can talk about it, you know. So the first part in the introduction, all, you know, part of it. And then what happened after that, she got the information from the man, and she went home, and then she put the book back, bring it back again, and then she read the whole thing. So. And the whole thing. You know here what he's talking about, this story? And later when she read this book, before it's so bored, but from then on it's no more boring. The book is so excited because she has to read the whole thing. So she wanna go back to him to talk about it, and because she like him. That's why. So we say, I love God, and then say, when we come to the Lord in the service, yeah, I know your name Jesus, it's quite familiar. I know. But you just read 1/3. So you still can talk to about the Bible to Jesus Christ. But you truly love, you're inspired by the, you know, the Word of God, that you go home, they read the whole Bible. And then you talk to God. Wow, I know, you know. So it tells us, if you really cherish the Word of God, if you really, you know, you really like to read the Bible or understand the Word of God, and you, because you like the Jesus Christ. Simple it is. So this way you can tell, you know, how much you love God, how much you love the Word of God, you know, which is the same. Chapter 5, verse 15 to 19. Anybody can read us? Read out for us. Chapter 5, verse 15 to 19. Thank you. Verse 17 here says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come." Here mentioned the new creature. Last time I already talked about the new creature a little bit. Creature means we cannot create ourselves. We are not have a power. We are not have a almighty power to create something. We just can sustain. Maybe it's possible. But creation is only as it came from God. And God recreate us to new being, to put it in us. It's a new creation. When it happens, when we baptize, our old self is die by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. A new one come out. This is a new being. So new life start from then on. But we have to remain in the Christ. And that is the key to ourselves, to continue to generate ourselves, to be renew ourselves, to be a new creature, to make the life to hold. So that's very essential matter in our Christians. The baptism itself is very precious, very important. But still, we have to remain ourselves in the Christ so that the new creature to be strengthening, to be continue grow. It's like this, the creation and non-creation like this. When you are in the water, you're about to drown to death. And you cannot pull your head up to save yourself. You know, when you are in the pool, a very deep place, you get in, but you cannot get out. So you're trying to save yourself and then put your head up and up to the water, but you cannot save yourself. Maybe one or two times come out to the water, but you cannot save. There somebody can stretch their hands, help you, so you can come out of the water. So creation is in the same way. We cannot create ourselves, but somebody reach out their hands to create us, the new one, which to save ourselves, to give us a new life. This is a new creatures. Since we become a new creatures, then there God gave us a new commission to us. So here they mentioned the toward to the end portions, verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliations. So God gave us this mission is reconciliations, to connecting between God and us, and God and all the and the people. When you know the story about the prodigal son. Prodigal sons at the beginning, he doesn't want to live with his father. So he has all the complaint. So he want to get away from his father. But later on, when he's wasted all the things that he received from his father, and then there's no hope on his life. And then he woke up himself, his soul is woke up. His father's place is much better. That is the beginning of regeneration himself, because moment of the repentance. At that time, he got the new idea, and also which is turn himself to be different person at that moment. And then repent, and on the way come back, already he become a new person. When he met when he met the father, he turned out to be himself a new one. That's a recreation, we can say. And a reconciliation with the God in that manner. So. Chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. So. Anybody would you read first? During the time of Apostle Paul, the Roman Emperor to rule over the oldest, you know, occupied the land. So they use two different kind of system to control all this land. Their own country, like in Rome's, which is the Caesar is the top, which is Caesar the governor in the own country, and there's no army, but only police they have, which is nowadays meaning is a police. But those country they occupied, where they reach their hands to control their country, they sending the troop there, and let them live there to control the country by the armies. That's how the system they work at that time. And also they sending that the governor to each province, each what we call the district. At that time the Caesar send them directly to that place, and rule over the place. That is possibly we can understand as ambassadors nowadays. Now the ambassador is a country send the people to the other country for the relationship, you know, with the country, for helping between the country and the mother their own country. Their functions, their work, their office is to let them know where he came from. So kind of, you know, to express and let them know my country is what kind of country is. So that they can connect more closely, so that they can economically benefit from their countries. That's what are their functions. Now we out as ambassador, it's the same things. We God send us in this world, because we now is a chosen race. We are the children of God. God send us as ambassadors. Our mission is to let the people know where we came from, what is the benefit. What if, you know, if we connect with our kingdoms, because you're the benefit. So we kind of express to them. So let the other people to connect with our kingdoms, our God, so that we in our country benefit at the same time they also benefit. So this is the work of ambassadors. So he mentioned the ambassador. You and I, we all received the mission from God. At the same time, ambassador do not assimilate to the country peoples. The ambassador, they always keep their own cultures. It makes sense? Usually other people, they assimilate, doesn't matter, but ambassador, they should showing up their difference. You know, that's their work, their job. We are ambassador means we should not to change or anything to assimilate our identity with the people where we live. Because we not belong to here. Ambassadors do not belong to countries. Ambassadors belong to their own countries. That's only they doing it in a foreign country to present to them for their own behalf of their own country. This is a concept behind here. Let's pray in silence. Third hour, so let's kneel down and pray together.